This episode is brought to you by the Women's Network.
I feel like we always talk about, like, as if life is like a start and a stop for certain things, when really it's just fluid.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Redefining Ambition. I'm your host, Jamie Vinnick, founder and president of the Women's Network, the largest collegiate women's networking organization in the United States. And this is part two of my conversation with two recent University of Pennsylvania Wharton School business grads, Megan Dooley and Brittany Cummins. If you did not have a chance to listen to part one of this mini-series, I highly encourage you to pause this episode and listen to the previous episode first. As mentioned, Brittany Cummins is a trained engineer and a consultant at Boston Consulting Group, or BCG, who recently earned her MBA at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School of Business. Megan Dooley is also a recent grad of Penn's Wharton School of Business and is a major in the United States Army Reserve. She spent over 11 years on active duty in the United States Army and served in special operations, communications, and intelligence units. In this episode, Brittany and Megan share the value they found in stepping outside of their comfort zones, reflect on their own definitions of success and how that has evolved, and emphasize the importance of surrounding yourself with people that, quote, share your values but have lived a different life. Head to our Instagrams at Redefining Ambition and at thewomens.network and let us know what you think. I hope you enjoy the lesson.
And I love what we've talked about in a previous conversation, that everyone struggles and everyone goes through things in their life. And why do that alone?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everyone feels like they're in the trenches at various points in their life. And I think those experiences that we end up living through definitely make us stronger, but also should give us like a greater appreciation that, like, we're not the only ones. And so it's okay to talk about, you know, it's okay to say, I'm not doing okay right now, or I'm not great. And I think, yeah, I even struggle with this, like remembering that other people go through this stuff. It's good to check in with folks and to remind, sometimes reminding your friends that it's okay to not be okay is more for you. You know, sometimes we need to take our own advice. Often, I think we need to take our own advice because none of us do this stuff alone. I mean, I can't count the number of times Brittany has sat in my apartment, like, you know, and just like listened to me be like lovesick or whatever.
Brittany,
yeah. I mean, I'll say it back, right? Like, I think Meg brings a certain vulnerability and is just so raw with her story that it's, you know, she was one of the first people I felt comfortable, right? Like sharing the lows of my life, right? Like I went to her when things got really difficult for me. And it was like, that wasn't an issue. It was like, let's talk about it. Let's, you know, deal with it as it is. And then we can talk about fixing it later on. But I think, you know, because she is so like grounded in who she is, but largely due to the experiences she's gone through, right? Like she's like brings that energy to everyone that she encounters and like is such a good friend for it. So Meg, I love you.
Thanks, Boo. you're the best.
So you touched on this transitioning back to this life after being deployed, and another transition was going to business school for both of you. Britt, you left the engineering field after 7 years of working there and of course 4 years in undergrad. Why did you decide to go to business school and how did you think through pivoting in your career?
Yeah, good question. So I think this applies on two fronts. And the first one is that like the color in my life wasn't there. I was good at my job. I didn't love my job. You know, I saw like the color in everything outside of work. So I was like plugging in at the, you know, Science and History Museum. And I love that more than doing my day job. I was plugging in like with a women's organization, Jamie, that you and I have talked about at TCU and at UNC. And that gave me more life than, you know, the power plants I was building. And so I knew when that was happening, right, that like something needed to change, and that if there was a way to fit both of those things together, that would be my like ultimate career or like my ultimate purpose, right? So, you know, you start feeling those things and like, it's okay to feel those things. You know, I worked my ass off to get to where I was, like took a professional engineering exam. I mean, you know, studied 4 years in undergrad, like worked for a really good engineering company. And I didn't want to throw that all away because suddenly it felt like that wasn't it, but it wasn't it. And so I started looking for that color and thank goodness I did. Because when I got to business school, the transition was so, so real. As someone that grew up in low to middle class family in Charlotte, North Carolina, I went to public school. I was in a school like with, you know, people that looked like me. I didn't get exposure to a lot of immigrants or a lot of people that just like did not look like me. And so when I went to Alabama, the same held true. And it was like, I know that there is a greater purpose and a greater like lived experience out there other than like my life has shown to date. And you know, in the engineering world, I think I typically encountered 60 plus year old men in power plants who continued to show me that like the world was as I had seen it to date. And that's not the life I wanted to live. And so I think it was just like in search of more color that I thought about business school. I also was lucky enough to come across a woman who is a lifelong mentor and who truly changed my life. So Monica McCarty, I met her in, probably 2013. And she was the first person that listened to, you know, what drove me outside of work and talked to me about what was possible. So she went to Harvard Business School, another very prestigious business school. And like, I first learned from her what benefits could come from a business school and like what type of people you could meet at business school. And I heard there that there was color outside of what I've known. And my family in general, like while they are like amazing people, I think they're very scared of color and they're very scared mm-hmm. of what they don't know. And so they never push for it. Right. So we went to the same beach growing up. And that is it, Jamie. Like, I did not go international. I didn't travel internationally until my friend and I decided to go to Italy together. And I was scared as all hell, right? Like I had a money belt. I was like, someone's gonna pickpocket me.
Nerd.
I mean, I truly am. Like there's no hiding that. But you know, I had to see the world on my own. And that wasn't something that was like provided to me at a young age, right? And I just am so drawn to that lived experience that that's something you get in business school. And it's something you get probably elsewhere. But my life until business school wasn't filled with that color. And, you know, I don't have to speak to the lived experience that comes with the people I met in business school. Because, I mean, Meg is a classmate of mine and someone that I met at Wharton who this is the type of person that you meet.
Both of you.
I'm just always so like, when I like talk, when we do these, like have these conversations, I'm just always so blown away and like, just so impressed by how Brittany in her entire life has just constantly like pushed the needle and like sought like more challenging experiences and just like push to like be better, do better. When coming from this household that was like, when are you going to quit your career and have kids? You know, it's just like crazy. Your drive.
Yeah, they are great people. Like I do not at all want to talk down on them. It's just like a totally different life. It's so funny when I do travel, like, don't tell me until you get home. Like I'm going to worry about you every time you travel. But no, I mean, I do think it's real and it's not that I pushed the needle any farther. Like I think my ambition was there and I didn't have the choice, but I questioned myself along the way, right? Like there were times where it didn't feel like I had the ability to, because I saw someone else that was just naturally filling the role or had naturally like seen the world. And I think when you see the world, when you have those perspectives, you take on leadership, you take on mentorship, you take on anything you do in life with a totally different perspective. And so I didn't have that perspective, right? Like I wanted that perspective, but I knew that I couldn't fill a role like that. And so I kept pushing myself to kind of expand and in all those ways. And so when I got to business school, yeah, it wasn't like, I'm here to kind of get the stamp on my resume. It was like, I am here. I'm going to make every effort to get to know the people. And like, I know, Jamie, your audience is mainly women in undergrad. Like, get out and know the people around you, right? Like, I spent a lot of time in undergrad worrying about, you know, what classes I was going to take, or, you know, what sorority I was going to join, or, you know, the football game, which like we will not talk about Monday because I'm very nervous. Alabama's playing in the national championship, but we're not going to go there. But yeah, I mean, I was worried about a lot of things that I think I could have spent that time investing in people a little bit more. And I did that. I think I learned from that experience in undergrad, right? Like I didn't feel like I did that as much as I could have. And so at Wharton, 100% went all in. I spent the most of my time getting to know other people. And my friendship with Meg is like a product of that. I went through some of the best times in my life with those people. I went through some of the worst times of my life with those people, and to see where they are. I mean, people are all across the globe. Our classmates were 30% international. I don't deserve to know the level of people that I do know now because of my education, but it can do so, so very much for you. And yeah, it was about seeking that, the piece that was missing. And I know that so many people feel like they've worked for a long time to get to the right piece. And like, once all the puzzle pieces like magically fit, that it's hard to change that, but it's okay. You can change it at any point in time. I mean, Meg and I both went to business school a little bit later than the average bear, and I wouldn't change it for the world. I mean, my new career has served me in so many ways. And I'm just, yeah, excited to see where things go from here.
I'm so proud to know you both. I want to...
Likewise.
I want to spend time talking about business school, but how did you guys meet? Your friendship is so beautiful. And even listening to this podcast from a listener's perspective, I'm sure they can feel how genuine and authentic your friendship is.
How obsessed we are of each other.
how did you meet and develop such a wonderful relationship together? How is it so strong? You're in the same group, I think. Yeah. That's how you met.
Yeah. We lived on the same block when we moved to business school. not the same floor. Same block. And I would see Meg occasionally. She's got a saint of a dog who I adore more than my own. I love my own dogs. They're not in the background, but if they were, I would show you. So I'd see her occasionally and like knew she was a classmate, but didn't know her. And we ended up in a couple classes together, but also in a, like, it's going to sound very cheesy, but like a leadership discussion group. And there were six people from our class and six people from the class above us. And it really, like, we met each week and it really just challenged us to like think beyond the you talk about in business school. Like, you know, we're not talking about like, you know, the balance sheet of a company. We're talking about like how to be a servant leader, or we're talking about, you know, what's in the news and how that impacts like how you would lead a team and support someone that's directly impacted by that news. So Meg and I spent a lot of time like in thoughtful conversation and just like became really good friends from that. And like, I cannot recommend that enough. It's just like having people in your corner, whether it's an organized formal group or not, that push you on your beliefs continuously and like in a repetitive way. Right. I mean, her perspective is so different from mine because she's lived a life different than mine. Like everyone has lived a life different than mine. And so when it came to deciding between companies for me, like her advice was heard. And when it came between like going through like hard parts of my marriage, like her advice was heard. When it came between like deciding where I wanted to live and, you know, plant my roots, like her advice was heard. And so, you know, I just think the ultimate, I don't know, like failure is a hard word, but like when you start becoming comfortable with where you are is where you stop like growing and challenging yourself. And like, I don't think I could be in a corner with Meg or in a friendship with Meg or group with Meg and not feel pushed outside of like the current state of who I am. And so that's, I don't know, long story short from my end, but would love to hear what she has to say too.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I agree with Brittany. I think it really grew strong when that group that we were both a part of. It's like, I mean, I've learned so much from being friends with Brittany, just like, just from her in general. Like when I think about, I think sometimes like I could be a better listener. And when I think about that, I think about like the way that Brittany engages with people and participates in discussions with like groups. She's a really good listener and she knows, like, I can sometimes kind of go for the jugular, whereas like when it's like easy dually, like maybe that's unnecessary. Whereas like Brittany has this beautiful way of listening that makes the speaker feel very heard, but also can just like fluidly push back, like ask these questions in a way that like challenges folks to defend their position and to like explain, like to think critically about why they feel a certain way or think a certain thing. And then to like articulate that, like, and I think it's been so good for me personally to be around people like my classmates, Brittany, who challenge me, who like make me like defending your position, you end up learning a lot about yourself and a lot about like why you think certain things. And I think it's just it's a healthy exercise. So I definitely encourage, I mean, it's just like one of the biggest lessons that I've learned at school is just the importance of seeking out those who are very different from you, who have different backgrounds, who, you know, think differently. I mean, at the end of the day, like it's very important to have folks in your life who share the same values, but view the world through very different lenses, because otherwise you're just like living life in an echo chamber, you know? And I think that's really why we have become like such good friends. Cause we can, you know, we have been very vulnerable with each other. We've talked about like really hard things, which I think is just a good exercise in general with when you want to like build trust, you got to get a bit raw and share things, share personal, you know, things and be vulnerable with people. And like, we've just built on that kind of trust.
Yeah, Meg, I think there's like a couple things in my life that like shows me that, you know, I've made it, and that's not at all like a final term, but I think hearing you tell your story and like knowing that I know that deep down and like I could tell it if I were, you know, asked to, is like, I have spent the time with Meg. I've spent like this life walking this with someone that I like know her so deeply. That is the greatest joy in my life. And I think that's like what success looks like. I think, you know, it also means like Jamie in the same vein, right? Like finding people like you who are truly trailblazing and like crushing it in their field, who I don't know what kind of advice you can seek from me, but it's just like, to be able to mentor and watch someone grow an incredible is also like a true honor and a true joy to be a part of. So yeah, I mean, like friendships and mentorships like truly are what mean the very most to me. And both of you are very, very important in my life.
It's completely mutual. And I've told so many people, Brittany, you are a dear mentor. Both of you are dear friends, and just the way that you speak about your friendship and relationship to other classmates is so beautiful. And I want listeners to hear from you. I mean, you've expressed so much vulnerability, which is so brave to do. People are very fearful in doing that. And everyone has a wall. Everyone has tough skin. for most people, if not everyone, people have layers where it requires them to feel more comfortable in order to get to a point where they can express vulnerability. What would you say in response to people's fear about finding people who they can express vulnerability to and just living a life that liberates them?
I think it's keep looking for that and keep finding it, right? Like, even when you do have it, it doesn't mean you're going to be good at it. I mean, I'm still not good at it, right? Like, I very much talk at a high level and don't go into the nitty gritty details of stories because, like, it's still sometimes hard. You know, I come back from the holidays with my family. It's just like a world to process. We went to a wedding in small town Alabama, and where people are very big fish in a very small pond. And it's odd to see, you know, very successful people, Meg, someone from HBS, someone from Stanford Business School, one at Bain, one at BlackRock, like very high level companies, but they have since left that hometown and they're shunned as like black sheep, right? Because they're not staying in the small town, Alabama. I don't know. It's like, you've got to continue to put yourself out there and like be uncomfortable. And then when the environment changes around you, you've got to recognize like, this isn't the place which is growing me. You know, like I found in my engineering career that this wasn't the place that was growing me. And that's really hard. That's hard after 7 years to realize I've kind of peaked where I am and I could be comfortable here, but I'm not comfortable with being comfortable. I want to seek that uncomfortable. And I think the longer you seek being uncomfortable, if you go to business school, like they're all about stretch experiences and being uncomfortable. That's basically what you do for 2 years, right? You go through a series of nonsense social experiments where they push you out of your comfort zone. But like that is truly where you grow. And you don't have to do a trek to Patagonia, which like Meg and I were going to do together. You don't have to do it in a way, thanks COVID, by the way. You don't have to do it in that way, right? Like she's way better at that kind of thing than I will ever be. I was like halfway dreading, carrying a 50-pound sack on my back and like COVID I didn't go because, you know, 2 days later, the trip was canceled. I mean, like that kind of experience will grow some people past their comfort zones. Like it would have been good for me. I think 100% if I went, like would have been great. But, I am pushed more when I, you know, professionally find myself in rooms where I don't feel comfortable and there's like C-suite people in the room and who am I, this, you know, person that's been at the company for 3 months to speak up, tells them something that they listen to. Right. And it's those kind of experiences where they're, you know, you see them listen to it and you realize like, okay, that wasn't as scary as it could have been. Like there's value in what I'm saying. Or, you know, when Meg and I were in this group together, it was like when people were challenging my beliefs is like, until I defend them, I don't necessarily know where they come from or why they are as strong as they are. And so I would just, recommend like continue to push the boundary in whatever way that looks like for you. I think that looks very different for Meg and I, but that would be my advice.
Yeah. And I think everyone's like, it's different for everybody too. Like sometimes, like I said, I'm a chatty Cathy, so it's very easy for me to just like talk to people, you know, but some folks have a harder time and it's just kind of like figuring out your strengths and weaknesses and setting goals to like to improve. I mean, like I said, it's more challenging for other people to strike up conversations or like create, you know, establish that level of trust. And so if it's just like, I'm going to talk to one person today and I'm going to like, and we're going to not talk about work or school, we're going to talk about real life, you know, then that's what you got to do. Like, I think also like just leading with love too has been really helpful for me. I think when just like showing interest, genuine interest in what is going on in someone's life, makes people feel like you care and, you know, being authentic in that kind of interaction is going to establish that level of trust. And then, you know, once that's there, I think it's so much easier to get deep, but I mean, you have to start somewhere. And it's also a process. It's not like we start, it's like life is, I feel like we always talk about like as if life is like a start and a stop for certain things, when really it's just like fluid. And I think one thing, I mean, having a growth mindset is also huge. Like knowing that, you know, that you, there's something to be learned from every person that you meet, and just trying to, yeah, I think like that human connection, I mean, God, don't we all want it? I mean, maybe not, but I would say most folks, really seek that human connection, and we are so much more capable at things than we think. Mm-hmm. So it's just going, just jumping in and doing it, you know. And like, I like to have, like, we used to have this rule at work. Like we would, in my last company command, we would go like occasionally and have these like social gatherings or whatever. And we had this rule. It was like you could ask, you could only ask like one question about work, or someone would have like either like a certain number of questions could be about work, or like certain time was like work only. We could talk for like 5 minutes, and then after that, nothing. And if you break that rule, you're buying the next round of drinks. Because sometimes like we just want to stay on the surface, and like life is not about the surface. It's about what's below. And getting deep is important for all of us.
Yeah, 100%. And I will say, I think it's very important to say that like, I did not have this figured out when I was 22, 25, 28. Like, it is okay if, you know, this is not a regular part of your life at this point in time. Like, it can always become that. But I truly failed, and I was very scared to fail. But I truly failed at this part of my life. Like when I was in undergrad, I was so scared about what that meant to throw my name in a hat for an election. And so I didn't. I was so scared about, you know, doing anything outside of the bounds of what was considered socially appropriate in the world of the University of Alabama, which like is a totally different world than where I grew up. But you know, it's okay to be there, but to know that there's something greater, and like it takes small steps to break out of that. And I only broke out of that honestly by finding a person that pushed me to grow as a mentor. And I also think like I found that by mentoring other people, right? Like I think you hear other people say like, oh, you know, I learned so much from them more than they ever could have learned from me. And it totally is 100% true. And that's not at all why I do it. But I see so many, I mean, Jamie, gosh, you've taught me so much in just the way you are moving through this world and growing this organization and thoughtfully bringing people together and having conversations and growing, you know, who you are, but everyone else around you. And so, you know, I think it's okay to like step back and realize like you're not at the place you want to be, but there's a way to get there if you surround yourself with the right people that are going to grow and challenge you.
Okay, so thank you for the kind words.
Yeah.
Reciprocated 100%. Surrounding yourself with people. You graduated from one of not just the top business schools in the country, the top business school in the world. And so your classmates naturally fall within a certain caliber. Was it very difficult for you not to compare yourself and not to find yourself trying to mold into this box? Like, I know you had referenced that they encourage you to think beyond that, but I mean, Meg, people cannot see this right now, but you have sleeves of tattoos, and
yeah,
probably not what
making my mom proud.
It's not necessarily what people think of when what comes to mind is a business person. So was that difficult, realizing that I don't need to compare myself and navigate that and push against this box of how I'm supposed to conform?
I remember my first day of preterm sitting there and just being like, what the fuck am I doing? Because I'm sitting there, I've got like, I think I'm like the only like bleached blonde tattooed MBA, like, or I was at least, like, you know, I definitely look different than the average MBA for sure. And I'm in the military, like, well, I'm also from Portland, Oregon, and like tattoos are just like very much like a cultural thing in the Pacific Northwest. Like, it's almost odd if you don't have a tattoo. And so, you know, Nike executives will have like full sleeves. You know, it's not indicative of like someone's level of professionalism or anything like that. Doesn't signal that they're like, I don't know. It's different. And it's very much accepted. And then I kind of show up to like school and like people have like a small itty bitty tattoo on their wrist that they cover with their watch or something. And I just remember sitting there being like, okay, I probably need to like check myself. And, but I think at the end of the day too, like, God, I don't know. It's so crazy. It's so crazy that like, it doesn't matter where we are in life. We still have those moments where we walk into a room and we're just like, oh, should I have like worn something different? Or like you could, where you just immediately compare yourself to everyone else. And it's just like, God, why do we do that? I think it was a good lesson to get to school and just be, you know, you're surrounded by all of these people who are so smart and so accomplished. And I, like Brittany said, like we both showed up to school older than the average MBA. And I'm like sitting around all these like, you know, 20 somethings who can just crush a PowerPoint presentation without a mouse and just in like 2 seconds. And meanwhile, like I'm coming from the military where it's like our PowerPoints are like swooping arrows and exploding bombs. You know, we're not that great and with stuff like that. And like, and just these classmates who are so articulate and just so poised and like put together. And meanwhile, I'm like sweating because it's Philadelphia, it's a million degrees. And I walked from campus, I'm just like sweating and like want to contribute to classroom discussion, but I don't know the language of business yet. Like literally like want to say things, but didn't have like the vernacular, you know, and like for, I'd like raise my hand finally and say something. And I remember one of my marketing professors was like, what I think you're trying to say is, I was like, all right, asshole, like whatever, but he was right. You know? Yeah, I don't think I'm even answering your question at all, but like,
this is,
it just was, yeah. Yeah. It definitely was, nuts, but I think like it also like going through that exercise is just, it was helpful for me because it's a reminder that like, there are very different people I'm going to work with. And, but like, that it really doesn't matter, you know, what people look like or whatever. Like, again, at the end of the day, you know, surround yourself with people who share your values, but have lived a different life because you're going to learn so much from them. I mean, the classroom, that was one thing that I really missed during COVID is like our classroom discussions were so enriching because my classmates just had such different backgrounds. You know, they had done such different things in the world, had grown up in different households and with different cultures and practices and traditions and have all these different experiences. And so the way that they would approach situations or the things that they had experienced and the lessons that you could learn from, you know, when they shared that with you is just so invaluable. You know, I think the most that I learned out of business school was from my classmates. It wasn't, you know, you can read all sorts of cases and things like that, but at the end of the day, like you learn the most, I think, from the people around you and the experiences that they have lived through. I think also you just got to own who you are and just be unapologetic about it. And I just appreciate so much when someone can walk into a room and like my brother and my sister-in-law are so good at this. They just live authentically. Like they'll just walk into the room. They're very self-deprecating and they're just open and honest about, you know, about what's going on. And it's just, it's so refreshing to be around that kind of energy that I try and remind myself of that. When I find myself kind of like comparing, you know, doing that, playing that comparing game that like doesn't really help us get anywhere. you just like need to embrace who you are and just be you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like one of, to build off that, Meg, I think like one of the biggest things that we're told at some point, or that we like start to believe, is that we have to be good at everything. And that's not true. You can be really good at one thing and one thing only and be extremely successful in life. That's certainly true for consulting. That's certainly true for engineering. That's true for a lot of things. And so to go into business school and to see people that are really good at one thing, I mean, probably multiple things, right? But I'm an engineer. I've really never had to present to 200 people at a time. Like, how on earth is this person standing up there presenting like they are? It's like, well, maybe that's what they're good at. And maybe I can grow by watching them and learning from them, but like, maybe that's not where I'm supposed to, you know, where that's not supposed to be where I am. And I will always remember, I mean, Meg brought up marketing, like immediately brings me back. I hate marketing. Same. Engineers and marketing just like do not work.
Same.
But there was another engineer in my class, and he owned a brewery before he went to business school. And the case just happened to be on a brewery, and he didn't talk. I mean, the whole point of marketing is like the entire class to have a discussion and to go back and forth and to challenge each other. Didn't say a word. And you know, I mean, he has lived experience on how to market beer, on how to produce beer, on how to ship beer. Like literally beer is his expertise, and he wouldn't say anything. And that's because he didn't feel qualified enough to speak up in class, right? Like he saw all my other classmates speaking up just like I did and said, they're better at that than I am. And so I'm not going to share this experience. And it's like when people knew him well enough to say, like, drop the mic, stop all this nonsense. Like, everyone, please turn your attention to. And when he spoke, it's like, what? This is incredible, right? Like, everything he brought to the discussion was so relevant, so real. Like, that the questioning, the, you know, intimidation, it just wasn't worth it. And so, you know, while he may not be the most articulate speaker or the most comfortable speaker, his insight that he brought on that particular topic, on his expertise, was so, so worth it. And I think, you know, that's something you learn in business school, is that you can be good at a couple of things and you can be really shitty at a couple of other things and still make it. And that's the beauty of, I mean, not to go into the weeds, but the application process really makes you think about that, right? I think business school, so in general, you apply ish 5 years out after you've been working in the workforce, and they really make you reflect on where you are in life, you know, where you want to go and why you want to go wherever that is, you know. And so you have to know where your strengths are and where your weaknesses are, and you have to kind of use that to play into why you want to go to business school and where you're using that to pivot. And without that, I think you lose a lot of the credibility of the people around you and the realness of the discussion. Because maybe he wasn't there to become a public speaker. I don't think that he was, right? He was there to go back and grow his business and to, he's now elsewhere and like super successful. But that he wasn't there to become like the face of a company, and he doesn't have to be. So anyway, sorry, long anecdote short, I think that the world teaches you have to be good at everything. And that's just a complete myth and misnomer. You can get through it without that.
Yeah. And also, like, even if you feel like you don't have value, just like think of something that you can do for the team. Like it's a healthy exercise, because not only like, I mean, if you're part of a team, you always want to contribute in some kind of way. Like think about like, what does the team need right now? What is it that I could provide? Like getting in that kind of mindset, because like there is always something of value that you can bring to the table. And like screw the self-doubt, you know? I mean, I definitely showed up I know that Brittany kind of had a similar experience. Like you show up and you're just surrounded by all these people who are so smart and like accomplished and everything. And you're just trying to think like, how did I get here? What could I possibly contribute? But at the end of the day, you're there for a reason, and you've lived a life, you have overcome obstacles, you have experienced hardships, and you have gotten through it, and you've learned along the way. And like all of that, all of those things are valuable lessons that you can bring to a team or to, you know, a situation.
Warden is, especially Meg, compared to other environments you've found yourself in, is far more, I would say, inclusive and open mm-hmm. than environments you found yourself in the past. What lessons have you drawn from being in an environment where you're encouraged to be your most authentic self?
Yeah.
And it could be about anything. It could be about like chasing success. Is that something that you've thought about? A lot of people would look at both of you listening and say, you graduated from this incredible university. You've accomplished so much in your careers to so many people listening, and myself included. People would look at you and say, you're very successful. But in your own eyes, you've surrounded yourself with other people who maybe to you feel like they are far more successful. So I guess the different question is, how has your idea of chasing success evolved?
Brittany, do you mind if I go first?
Please.
Okay. I think that like for school, for things that I've learned at school, God, I'm so thankful to have landed at Wharton after the military. I mean, it is just such a, I'd never been in an environment before where we were just so pushed to think about like our identities, for one. I think that's probably like one of the biggest lessons. I've for the first time in my life had a queer community. I ended up being one of the co-presidents for our LGBTQ club Out for Business, and just learned so much from that community. I mean, I finally found myself in this place, this environment that like encouraged me to lean in to my identity, and explore what it means for me to be a queer woman. And to be, I'm also like a bit more mask, and like, what does that mean? It was the first place that we've really like in the military, we just, I don't want to say there's like a one-ism that exists, but it's like everyone's a soldier, and we don't have really serious conversations about like, what does it mean to be Black? What does it mean to be queer, to be a woman, you know, to be Asian, to be Jewish, whatever. These just aren't conversations that we have. I mean, we go to work and we work and we take care of each other and such, but like, we don't have these kinds of conversations that sort of like, you know, we don't pull at the threads to really explore these different facets of our identities. And that, and those conversations we were really like pushed into having and encouraged, to have at school. People were like intentional about having these hard conversations, which I really, really appreciated, because at the end of the day, I mean, I just grew so much, just like immeasurably personally and professionally from having those kinds of discussions. And so I think it's probably like one of my biggest takeaways from business school is really like the importance of exploring for yourself and with others, the many facets of your identity. And, you know, what's it mean for me to like believe in God and to have faith and to come from this like conservative Catholic household, you know, to be a member of this religion that like fundamentally doesn't agree with the way that I am, you know? And then, I mean, gosh, I think that my definition of success has just changed since I was, it changed definitely over the years. For me, I have always sought challenging experiences. I've always wanted to like do the things that either people like didn't think I would be able to do, or women hadn't done before. I really wanted to be a part of like the guys club and like earn a seat at the table. And, but like at the end of the day, for me, if I didn't have strong personal connections in my life, I wouldn't like professional accomplishments would be fruitless. I mean, I think at the end of the day, for me, it's having people in my life who I can celebrate, you know, being a part of like someone's journey. And I mean, for me, it's like the human connection 100%. Like I'm such a people person, and it brings me like so much joy to have like these kinds of friendships where like you can be a part of, like I said, a part of their journey, you know? So I think for me, success is like what makes me feel fulfilled, what makes me feel a sense of purpose and feel good about myself and like the world that I'm living in. And I think that changes too. I think that you kind of got to like reevaluate that, come back to it occasionally. And I think a good practice too is like, you know, when we were in preterm, we were all like, when we were at Hogwarts first day one, we were in this auditorium, and there was a small panel and of speakers, and I don't remember anything else anyone said, but I remember this one woman said, you know, you really got to think about what you want to do, like what is important to you right now. What are your, you know, personal and professional goals, and then what are you doing in your life that is in service of those goals? And I think that's a really healthy practice of like, you know, going through that mental practice of like, what's important to you right now? What do you want to accomplish? And like, are the things that I'm doing in my life right now in service, or am I like off a bit? What do I need to do to get back on track? And that's going to change. You know, I try and do that like every couple months because, you know, things change. And, but at the end of the day, like you've got one life and you don't waste time on stuff that you don't want to be doing, or you don't feel is in service of where you want to go and what you want to do.
Amazing. Thank you for that. Brittany.
Yeah. You know, I think in terms of my identity and how that changed at Wharton is that I came in nursing a you can't mindset, right? Like, in engineering, right? Like, there's not a lot of opportunity to present and to be, you know, like the forefront of a conversation, right? You're behind the computer, you're running the calculations, you're in the technical weeds. And so when I thought about business school, right, when I thought about leading a company or being a consultant or starting my own business, right, it was coming from a place of like, that's not what you've been trained to do. You've been trained to be behind the scenes. Like, you can't do that. And I think when I was applying, I was very much under the impression that they were looking for a particular mold of human being, right? Like someone that had worked in a very business-like environment, someone that had done all of those things, and like, I was not it. And so I was going to be the oddball in the classroom, and that like could not be more from the truth. But, you know, I think over time I learned like, hey, wait, I can do these things, you know, by putting myself out there, by going through it, by getting up and offering to give the presentation when I really don't want to. And, you know, like get the sweats and the shakes and all those weird things. It's like by doing that over and over, I get a little more comfortable, and then it becomes like, this isn't a big deal. And I can. And so the biggest identity shift was like, now I approach things as like, you know, I may not be the best. I may not be the most qualified, but like I can figure out a way to get there, wherever that is. And I think, you know, particularly for me, it was like entrepreneurship is the farthest thing that I would ever touch, because I always thought you had to come up with this beyond novel idea. I mean, my husband's a patent attorney, right? And so like he deals with people that like literally license things that have never been thought of before. And I thought that like to start your own business, you had to do that. But it's not always the case, right? You could tweak something that's already out there just slightly and make it a little bit better and be the world's most successful entrepreneur, right? Like, let's talk about Bumble. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it was already out there. And look how, I mean, Whitney is amazing. Like, look how successful she's been in that little tweak. And I think she, you know, she's coming from the you can mindset. But I don't think there's a piece of that's important, right? Like getting from you can't to you can, but along the way, you can't lose this humility, or this piece that says like, I came from a place of you can't, and I came from a place that always grounds me and that says like, I'm not going to be the best person in this room, or like, there's someone else I can always learn from. Because when you lose that, I think you lose everything. And Jamie, I think we've talked a lot about like how much we've learned from our classmates, but they're all like, I've also learned from classmates of mine that like, I never hope to emulate. And you know, you think of these prestigious business schools and that everyone's going to be super impressive, and that, you know, at these companies, you're going to want to be like everyone you're around. And like, that's frankly not the case. And there are several people in our business school class that lost that humility and that didn't care to learn about other people. And I think that's the first thing that turned me off to a friendship with them, is that like, once you think that you are all knowing, or that you are at a point where you don't have to learn from other people, you start losing. And I think success comes from celebrating other success, from leading with humility, from walking this as like a group effort, right? Like, I mean, I think even when people reach the pinnacle of success in their careers, that's not the most fulfilling moment, or at least like for me, that hasn't been, right? Landing my dream job, that hasn't been my pinnacle of success. Like, I will always talk about watching those people that I've mentored like gain that success before I have, or like watching friends start businesses, or, you know, just like there's so much to learn from other people. And that first comes from this you can mindset shift, but it also comes from like keeping that humility with you throughout the journey.
And not shying away from failure.
Yeah. 100%.
Like, success comes from repetitive failure. It's just like, yeah, we're like living examples of that.
Before we get to our lightning round of questions, I'm sure people are wondering, what is next for you? Brittany, you're in consulting now. You've pivoted from engineering to consulting. Of course, there are a lot of parallels. There's a lot of overlap. But for both of you, what is next? And how are you manifesting that?
So I think you're going to hear very different answers if I had to guess. But, you know, I have always had, as I've been told, you know, like a 5-year plan. I've always had the like, go do this, then, you know, this is next, and then this is next. So when I graduated undergrad, it was like, get a job, volunteer with organizations I care about, think about business school, get to business school. It just like never ended, right? There's a 5-year plan of which like several things happen, but now I'm at a place where it's like, I've checked most of the boxes off on my immediate plan. And now it's like, I'm riding this until it's not the right thing to ride. I think consulting is a career you can make out of it. Like a lot of people stick around for 2 years and then, you know, learn what they need to learn and go to be successful in several other industries. Other people stay for a lifetime. I don't know what's next for me. And I think that's a really freeing thing to sit back and say, like, we'll see. So don't know if that answers your question, but TBD.
Okay. Megan, legacy.
Yeah. I think what's next for me is starting my own business and just grinding and living that like founder life, just like no more going out to dinner for me. You know, it's going to be a grind, but I'm excited about doing it. I'm excited about like the opportunity to create and to build something, and excited to do that, to like add, you know, to bring on teammates and to do that with other people. And I'm really excited about this next, you know, chapter of life. It's so nice to have a bit more agency over what I'm doing, you know, and and the freedom to just kind of like explore things. And I'm pretty pumped about it. Yeah. So I'll be hanging out with La Familia for another week in Portland and just like living the good life, like having dinner with the fam. It's always good when the fam feeds you. Like soaking up all of this like amazing Pacific Northwest wonders that exist out here. It's just like a magical bubble in the Pacific Northwest. And then getting back to Philadelphia and like getting serious, you know?
Very exciting. Okay. So I'm going to ask you a question and let me know
Is this the lightning round?
The lightning round of questions. So let me know what comes to mind first. So what is the funniest experience that comes to mind from business school?
You know, I think it's just watching people get outside their comfort zones. We've beaten this, like it's, we've talked about it enough, but my husband and I very early on went on a trip to Cuba with our classmates, and we did a lot of different things that like push people outside of what they had normally done. And we went to Vinales, which is the countryside of Cuba, where there are a lot of you know, coffee farms, and we had to ride horseback from where the car could take us. Watching my classmates who had never ridden, I don't have a ton of experience riding horses, but like very strong, composed people get on horseback when the horses were not cooperating with whatever they were telling them. Was one of the best things I think I saw in business school. I don't know if that answers your question the right way, but it's like at every point, right? Like the horse would kneel down and try to eat the grass, and it was like pulling the reins, and the reins were not taking them the direction they needed to go. And then, you know, we'd start off at a quick clip and then want them to slow down for them to only go faster. Anyway, watching like very composed people do new things was one of the best parts of business school.
I would love to have been there.
Is there like a funny experience that comes to mind?
Yeah, I think one of the funniest things I saw was during Rainbow Pub. So we have this club called Pub, and it's every Thursday at this old armory in Philadelphia. And it's basically like if you pay for a membership of Pub, you go every Thursday, and like every club has a day, like a Thursday. And so like, there'll be a different theme based on like whatever the club is. And it's like all you can eat and drink, basically. Like they'll have like a taco truck or some kind of food truck will come in, and they'll, and then, you know, you're just drinking beer and breaking bread with like hundreds of your classmates. It's a great time. And anyways, Out for Business threw one, and we call it Rainbow Pub. And we have like these massive tables set up with like hundreds and hundreds of Jello shots. Like, and it just looks like a giant rainbow of Jello shots. And we have this tradition of like setting up a stage, and we bring in like Out for Business brings in these Philadelphia drag queens. And they do our makeup, and we have teams basically dress in drag and compete. And they basically do a dance routine, and whoever does like the best dance routine, like wins the competition. And it's kind of a tradition that the veterans club is one of the closest allies of Out for Business at Wharton. And we like, they traditionally take home the trophy. So you have like all these like big burly, like veterans out on stage getting in there, and they go like all out. Like they're in like high heels that I, you know, back in the day when I used to dress a bit more femme, would never have worn. So these high stilettos and their, you know, short skirts and like, you know, very risque outfits, and they've got their hair all done up and their makeup's all done up. And you see these like big burly, like vets that you would never normally like see, you know, dressing in drag, getting out on stage and just owning their dance routine and like straight crushing it. It just was like so, like equally just like hilarious and also just awesome to see that kind of like display of support and allyship, you know, of coming out and like really embracing this part of our culture and then like taking home the trophy. And we have like the Vice Dean and like people from career services and admissions also come, you know, come out for it and dress and drag and like do the whole dance, you know, do their own routine. So just seeing that kind of stuff was like pretty great. Probably like one of my top memories of school.
Okay. What is the most underrated app on your phone?
Ooh.
Brent and then Meg.
You know, I think people are like loyal to Google Maps and I'm a big Apple Maps fan. So I will say,
gross.
I think
judge.
Yeah. I mean, Apple Maps, I'll go with that. It gets me where I need to go. And I hate the interface of Google Maps.
A tiny scanner, 100% for me, most underrated. Like I paid like, I think it was like $4.99, which at the time I was like, oh, who pays for apps? But like, I use that thing all of the time. Like I don't have like a printer or a scanner. So like everything that I have that's like digitized from that app, I use it all the time. Highly recommend.
What is a book that you recommend?
I told Meg about this recently. My favorite book is hands down The Nightingale by Kristen Hanna. She writes historical fiction and does a really, really good job of getting in the minds of the characters and like the setting of the story. And incredible book. It's not going to teach you like how to be the best business person in the world or anything, but it's just a really good read. And so I've recently been going through all her other books. Some are better than others, but I just think, you know, the more you can like shift your brain, right, to get outside of this perspective that you know, she does a really good job of doing that for different time periods that you don't even have the opportunity to explore. So I highly recommend The Nightingale by Kristen Hanna.
Hey, Meg?
I would read anything that retired General McChrystal has published. I think he's a phenomenal leader. And so a lot of great lessons from his books. Also, gosh, just one, I think one of my all-time favorites is Crime and Punishment, just because it's just so like, you're just like in the mind of someone who struggles with mental illness. And it's like uncomfortable in a lot of ways, but just like so accurate. You know, you can like really feel what it's like to be this person and like suffer with that and navigate the world with it. So
what are you most proud of?
This is like my nightmare of a question. Meg, you go first this time.
Oof, what am I most proud of? I think I'm really proud of my family. Really proud of like things that they've taught me, and like I really appreciate growing up in an environment that allowed me to explore and try new things and like, and fail without being defined as a failure. I think that really has been like instrumental in my life. I wouldn't be here today if my parents hadn't instilled those kinds of values in me.
What are you most proud of?
You know, this may seem backwards. I think I'm most proud of the things that I talk about the least with other people. So, you know, I think as of late, that was a recognition in business school where I received a fellowship that paid for my second year of business school. And that fellowship put me in a class of 10 other people from the world's top business schools to work alongside during a social impact project. But that's something like my family doesn't know about. That's something that some of my closest friends don't know about. And I don't know that that's like my proudest accomplishment, right? Like, sure, it paid my tuition dollars, but I think I'm proudest of that because in order to receive that recognition, in order to receive that fellowship, I had to be the rawest version of who I was, like who I am. I think to be able to be recognized for it, right? So the application called for 6 very like detailed and descriptive and like raw question and answers. And I was the most open I've ever been. I talked about a sexual trauma that has like truly changed who I am as a person and how I like grew from that and learned from that. And I had never opened up about that before. Right. But I did that in a sheet of paper and I don't know if I was rewarded for it or not. Right. But like that contributed to a recognition that was like brought in front of all my classmates that like I wouldn't necessarily bring, right? The school brought that recognition without my talking about it. So I think it's like the experiences in life when you are able to go beyond like what feels comfortable and to be recognized and rewarded for it. And that's a large story of my life is that I generally keep the successes very quiet and continue to focus on the grind and continue to push forward. But that one as of late has been a big thing to celebrate because it has celebrated so much failure and so much just growth in my past.
It's a huge accomplishment. I'm so happy you shared that. So if you could leave our listeners with one last piece of advice, what would that be? We'll start with Meg.
Again, to work on having a growth mindset, I think life is so much more enjoyable. And you will learn and appreciate the hardships that you navigate much more when you can see them as opportunities for growth. I mean, that's so much easier said than done. But just having this mindset that like, if you're in the trenches, you know, like not every situation is great. Sometimes we're dealt a rough hand, but you get through it and it will shape who you are fundamentally as a person. Just remember that like you can do hard things and you are more than capable of overcoming challenges. Like seek them in your life and get comfortable being uncomfortable because you grow in those situations. And just remember that you can do hard things and you deserve a shot at anything that you want. So believe in yourself and push forward. You know, sometimes all you just need to do is like move forward. You know, sometimes you don't have to necessarily believe that you can do something. You just have to try it. And, you know, sometimes you got to fake it to make it.
You know, at the risk of sounding like a mom with my turtleneck that already makes me look like a mom, I think it really, my advice comes from like, not necessarily you are who you surround yourself, you know, with. It's like you become affected and impacted by those that you surround yourself with. So like choose those people wisely. And if there's someone in your life that's not serving you well, like go your separate ways. There's a way to do that, you know, amicably. There's a way to even get outside the perspectives that are offered to you every day, right? Like I talked about when I was younger, just like what I was exposed to was very, very limited in the shape of, you know, worldly perspective. And at Wharton, I met Burmese immigrants and I met military veterans like Meg, and I met people that have, you know, served the former President of the United States and, you know, people that have like built their own breweries or worked in private equity. I mean, you are who you surround yourself with. And like a job title doesn't necessarily mean that someone's valuable or like worth being around, but, you know, find those people and find those people, not only in friends, but in mentors. And a mentor was a huge unlock for me. I think a mentor is the first person that told me like your dreams are achievable and your dreams are, you know, something that I can help you work towards, which hadn't been told to me before, right? Like when I expressed my dreams in the past, it was more of like why instead of like, okay, those are your dreams. How do we get there? And so, you know, when I didn't have that person to support my dreams, I found that person, right? So like, if that person doesn't exist in your life, like keep searching. There are several ways to find them. Like ping me on LinkedIn, right? Like there are so many ways to shift who's around you and who's in your corner. And I think that ultimately has a big impact on who you are as a human being. So big fan of your circle.
Yeah, totally. That's such a good point, Britt.
Well, thank you so much, Britt and Meg, for coming on Redefining Ambition. It was an amazing conversation, and I know that I'm sure people got a lot out of it, and really grateful for your vulnerability.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us on. This was awesome. Yeah, love so you both.
Love you too.
Thanks so much for listening to an episode of Redefining Ambition. If you like what you heard, please make sure to subscribe, rate us, tell your friends, and if there's anyone you think we should have on our show, let me know. Join me next Tuesday for a brand new episode of Redefining Ambition. We'll see you all then. Take care, everyone.